You are listening to the Her Money Matters Podcast, episode 29.
Welcome to the Her Money Matters Podcast, the podcast to help you take control of your finances. Join your host, motivational money coach, Jen Hemphill, as she shares with you practical, simple money insights and real-life stories by women like you. Let's get to it.
Hey, hey there. This is Jen Hemphill. And if you are tuning in the day this goes live, which is the day of Christmas Eve, I wanted to wish you a Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays, and really thank you for taking time out of your holiday to tune in and listen to this podcast. If you're listening to this podcast another day outside of the Christmas Eve day, I want to thank you as well, because it means so much that you even take some time out of your busy schedule to tune into this podcast, to listen to what I have to say, sometimes my rants, sometimes things of that sort, or listening to my amazing guests that I have on this podcast. I figure that for this particular episode, I'd release one with a guest just to make it light and fun. And I really couldn't think of a better person to make it light and super fun other than Jen Hatsung. Now, let me tell you just some highlights from my conversation with Jen. In this episode, you're going to learn the impact that the candid family conversations about money growing up, what impact they had on Jen. You're also gonna hear Jen's take on who should be the money manager in the household. You're gonna learn on why Jen and her husband did not do their dream honeymoon in Europe and what resulted instead. And also what calculated risk they took to pay off a good chunk of their debt and why they did it. So I'm going to give you a little more details, a little bio on Jen Hatsung. Jen Hatsung has a BA in political science and has a background in social media, brand marketing, working with military families, and nonprofit communications. Jen is the co-founder of the podcast She Percolates, where they believe success is an ever-evolving concept. It is different for everyone, and each iteration is valid and worth celebrating. Their mission is to introduce their audience to interesting and inspiring women who live all different versions of success. They strive to encourage women to live out their own version of success. Now, let's not delay anymore, and because I really, really want you to meet Jen. Welcome, Jen, to the Her Money Matters podcast. I'm excited to have you here and to have another Jen to talk to today.
Yay. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be on the show. I'm a little bit nervous to share my money experience, the good and the bad, but I'm excited to be here.
No, I'm excited to have you. Let me tell you all, I've already told you about the professional Jen, but she's also a military spouse like myself. She is an amazing Instagrammer. I've learned so much from her.
Oh, thank you.
And so there's just so much to learn. She's just so creative. I've already told you about the She Percolates podcast, but it's an awesome, fun show to listen to. So just wanted to plug that in. So you ready to dive in?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Okay, perfect. Well, Jen, we know about you, the professional. We know you're a rock star. That's not to question. I just wanted to know, and for our listeners to know more about you, Jen, the woman, the soon-to-be mom, because you're expecting, the wife, the sister, the aunt, all that. So tell us something more about you that maybe you've never shared and you're willing to share. I'd love to know.
Okay, cool. So yeah, so like you said, I'm the co-host of She Percolates. My husband is a maintenance officer in the Navy, so I've moved around a lot. My dad was also in the Navy for 32 years. He retired just a few years ago. So I grew up in the Navy. I feel like it just kind of, I always joke, like, if you were to cut me, I wouldn't bleed red. I would bleed blue for the Navy. So something about me, well, some people might know, but I thought that I was going to go to college and become a doctor. I applied to all of the colleges as a pre-med microbiology major.
And,
yeah. Then as senior year, like, you know, really got in full swing and came to an end, I was like, I don't want to do that. and then I changed my major like 3 times in college. And I went from being the gal that everyone thought would graduate in 3 years and be all crazy. And I took some extra time. And I feel like I really focused on finding myself and being okay with not everything not being perfect or going the way, you know, according to plan. So,
right.
Yeah. And then also I do have a background in finance. That was my first job out of college. So I worked for a large financial institution and I had to wear, power suits, pantyhose and pearls for like in my early to mid 20s. So I've been on both the corporate side and then on this more of entrepreneurial side.
That is interesting. And I'm with you about the changing. I also changed majors in college and then went on to get degrees that I can't say I'm not using them, but not specifically in that focus. Of course, I've taken away from them and applied to what I do today. But I definitely hear you on that because I think sometimes we graduate high school and, you know, for a lot of us, we know the next thing is college, right? And we don't really have the time. We think we know what we want to do, but we're young, you know, so to really decide right away for all of us, maybe, you know, there's only a few that know right away what they want to do, right?
Totally.
So I know for me, goodness, I was going to be a dentist.
Yeah. That was my initial. This medical type world to here we are now podcasting.
Yes, yes. But then I realized one day I'm like, oh, and I know this sounds silly, but oh, you know, I was thinking I'm going to have to look at people's teeth, which means not all mouths are the same. So they're not all going to be pretty and I might be disgusted and I have a really sensitive stomach. So that made me change my mind, silly as it is. But anyways,
yeah.
So let's get back to you. Tell us how you grew up around money, you know, maybe conversations you have with your parents or your parents had conversations with you, or maybe things that you saw and experienced. We'd love to know more about that.
Yeah. So growing up, I would say we were totally middle class, like the middle of middle class. We definitely, I don't think we were poor. I don't think we were super well off and wealthy. So I never went without things that I needed. Maybe sometimes there were things that I wanted that I didn't get to have, but everything we needed was always there. We were always able to do things. Thankfully, my dad was stationed in some really amazing places. So we were just like, I spent most of my life living in San Diego and Hawaii. So just
beautiful.
So places where you could just like go to the beach and go camping and do stuff like that. So that was, I was really lucky in that sense. But my parents were really, really candid and open and honest about money. I mean, it wasn't something to where they were saying, you know, they were worried or stressed about money and then that kind of trickled down to us or anything, but they were just, they talked about it. And so it was a conversation that was had in our home. I feel like from a pretty young age, like I would have a lot of conversations with my dad about that. And that really transitioned into, high school and college. And even especially now, I call my dad a lot and we talk about financial things like just decisions and things to do and like, you know, just sharing an excitement of like goals that my husband and I have hit or like when
that
we were buying
awesome.
Our first house, you know, I reached out to him a lot just to kind of understand how things are going and just, you know, just get his opinion and his advice on it. And also too, I think it was great because, we had that conversation so much when I was young and I just knew that talking about money was okay. It really helped me I think it's helpful for my dad because now I reach out to him, you know, so he doesn't feel like he's lecturing me because I'm saying, hey, I want to know about this. Yeah.
Right.
I want you know, I want to share this with you or I want your insight. And we have conversations like, very candidly now that, you know, I'll say like, this is what I'm thinking. He'll say, well, this is what I would do. And like, we'll just kind of be like, okay, they're different. And, and even with my husband, he's very, my dad and my husband, you know, talk about finances and stuff like that. So it's a conversation that was always had. And, I can't think of a better word than struggle, but there were some struggles, you know, my parents had, financially growing up, and I saw them in a good way. Like, okay. In the sense that, like, I think I learned from them. And again, it was never like, oh, we didn't have food on the table or like electricity or something. It was just, you know, trying to make things work and get to do those extra things is where, you know, they were trying to make that happen. And I also think, as I got older and got out of the house and my siblings were still home, I think for them, like my parents' financial situation changed a lot to where I would say I grew up more like middle class. And I think my siblings grew up in more of an upper middle class.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's awesome. And I love that because, you know, money, it can be such a taboo subject where you don't want to necessarily speak about it. And the fact that you and your father just speak about it candidly, that you're able to call, he's able to call, even you even mentioned your husband and him talking.
Yeah.
Candidly about money. I think that's just amazing. And just because, like I said, it's just the money can be such a taboo subject. So for you all to be able to do that, that is a beautiful, beautiful thing, because that is definitely helpful.
It is. And that also, too, I think translated as well, because some of my closest girlfriends that I've been friends with since, you know, like middle school, and we still talk text regularly. I was texting with them this morning. We are open about it, too. And so it's just, it's one of those things where I feel like I just, you know, it is a conversation that's okay to have with people, not with everyone, but I'm okay talking about that. And so
that is great. That is great. Cause you don't see that often at all. So I love that. And you, of course, you're married, and are you the money manager in your home?
So actually this, I was for the first like 5.5 years of our marriage. And so just in this last, in the last couple of months, we've transitioned to my husband taking over. And so, which was really helpful in the time that it happened. It was when I just found out I was pregnant, and I had a really, really bad first trimester, which, Jen, I know you know, but I was like dead to the world. I was just so sick. I had been to the hospital a few times. I was taking medication. I was barely functioning. So it was a really good time for us to transition, because I was like, I can't even like take this all. I can't even do this all right now. So it was really good. But I think that my husband's really good with money. I think he's naturally more of a saver than I am. So it was good for me to really be in charge of it for a while. But I think it's really helpful for both sides to get to do it, because you really, you see what the other side was doing. And I think some of the times where, you know, like little blunders happened when I was managing it, like now that happens for him. And I think he sees it better how like, oh, I know Jen was working on this really hard and always keeping things up to date, but little things happen. You both, you know, are swiping your card and taking care of things that you forgot to mention to one another. So then like, you know, the balance is just less than what you thought it would be. Because if you both go out and spend the $75 and you just didn't realize or communicate it that well, then, you know, you're missing a big chunk of money that you just kind of thought was going to be there. So.
Oh, absolutely. Communication is so big. And you are not the only person that I've spoken to recently that is that they're in the process of transitioning, or they've transitioned where they're no longer the money manager, but their spouses. So it's definitely need to see. And you're right. And one of the things I talk about is to make sure that both, even though obviously one person is going to be the money manager, right? But for both people to know what's going on. So therefore, if something happens, like you said, you found out that you were pregnant and you had already transitioned, but if you hadn't at that time, would he have known what's going on? And then you being, you know, not feeling well and trying to communicate that would have been made for a difficult time. So it's always good to be in the loop, even though you may not be the money manager, but always be good to be in the loop about that for sure.
Yeah. I also think too, I feel like a lot of my friends, the woman does the money managing, but I know for a lot of people, I don't know if it's normal, but it seems to me when I did financial counseling, a lot of times the guy really handled that more. And I think in the military world, I think it's really important for the woman to know all of that, because absolutely. Once deployment happens, they don't have access to everything. You know, they right. don't have internet that works all the time. You need to know what bills are coming in and out. And I just think it works well for both to know those things, for both to have an understanding of like, okay, these bills come out this pay period. These bills come out this pay period. Here's how much money we have, like, you know, extra free frivolous fun money we have each pay right. period, and understand that. I think it helps your spending when you both know what is coming out each month and each pay period. No, so
absolutely. I agree. And Jen, what would you say is the best money you've spent?
Okay. So this is super easy. Hands down. The best money we have ever spent was the trip we took to Europe last December.
Okay.
And I say that because this was the trip that we took. We went to Paris and we went to Italy.
Oh, so fun.
Yes. And I wanted to do that for our honeymoon like 6 years ago, but financially we were not at a place to do that. And I'm so glad that we waited instead of just putting that all on our credit card and, you know,
right.
and then, yeah, we would have been there and had fun, but we both would have been worried about like, oh, should we really spend this money? This trip we took to Europe was right after my husband got home from deployment. He got home mid-November. We left the day after Christmas. So
so nice.
6 weeks, but we had saved up. We paid cash for everything. I mean, obviously we used our like rewards points credit card, but it was like every time we made a major purchase, like bought the tickets, did this, we transferred the money right over to pay it off. So we had saved up that money, and it was like the best thing ever. We did not worry about what we were spending over there because we had saved up a large chunk of money for like spending money to go out to eat, to do some shopping, to just, you know, to do all of that stuff. So it was so worth it. And I feel like it is just an experience that I know we will never forget. And I'm really glad that my husband really pushed us to wait for that trip to be able to save and pay for it in cash. So
that is beautiful. And I'm glad you bring that up because I know, for example, as you know, with the family and I took a trip to Spain.
Yeah.
And we had been wanting to do that for years. But at that time, our kids were younger, or we didn't have kids, and then we started having kids, and then they're young, so it's like, are they going to really appreciate that trip? And
yeah,
like you, we wanted to make sure that we had it covered, because we've been, like, for example, we went on a cruise, and we had saved up for it, no problem. But then what we didn't think about was the extra stuff on the cruise.
Yeah.
So we didn't have the money to do that. And so it's like, oh, okay, we'll get off the boat, get
yeah.
something to eat, but we can't go on this, you know, snorkeling or do all the other extra fun stuff. And it's not that you have to do all that stuff, but you want to have that liberty to choose, that freedom to choose whether you want to do it or not. So that's beautiful. I love that.
Yeah. And I think too, it was really good because it was a goal of ours. So it was like when we would make big financial purchases or do things, it was like we would factor that in, like, how will this affect when we get to go? I mean, and thankfully,
right.
well, I mean, not thankfully, but a blessing from my husband being deployed last year is we were able to save a lot of extra money. So in addition to paying a lot of things off and putting money in our regular savings, we also were able to say like, okay, we're going to allot this much money each month to go towards our trip. And that was kind of our reward after his 9 month deployment, was taking this long awaited, right. Trip to Europe. So
that is awesome. I love that.
Yeah.
And as far as how you do your finances, are you more of a spreadsheet person? Are you software? Or are you more of traditional with a pencil, paper, calculator?
It's funny. My husband and I are the exact same way. We are pencil, paper, and calculator. I would do it each month in my big planner, just okay. so it would always be in the right spot. But he does it every, he has tons of legal pads that he uses for notes and everything. But we're both it's very similar. We both did the same thing. Every pay period, we would, write down how much money came in, what bills are coming out, even though it's pretty much the same every month, but it was right. like we needed to do that and factor it all in. And we have it set up pretty well to where we've kind of evened out to where different bills come out each pay period. So it's about the same amount, but we like to calculate it every 2 weeks. Okay. So we know exactly, okay, this is exactly what's coming out. And this pay period, we have this much extra money. This pay period, we have this much extra money. And then we also, my husband is a little bit better at this than I am, but he will also factor in like, okay, we need to buy this thing that, you know, this pay period that, okay, you know, like if he needs a new uniform or I need to order new glasses or something. So he's really good at that. And then we go over it every pay period. So every 2 weeks, we just kind of, just so we both know, you know, like, hey, here it is. Or some weeks some pay periods, we have 3 weekends where we're, you know, we're living off of our extra money, after we've done savings and all this stuff. So he'll be like, oh, I took some of our extra money and I put it towards groceries because we have 3 weekends we have to get through and stuff. Right. So yeah, just really good. I just think there's something about writing it out and doing it that way than just kind of plugging numbers in. That's really helpful for both of us. So.
Right. Right. Yeah. I do a little bit of both, the spreadsheet to just get like the picture of the money. And then I have one of those composition, notebooks that I go through and I literally write every single month, so I can check off, because there's been months sometimes where I'm like, oh, I swear, sometimes since we do the online bill pay, I input whatever bill that is, how much is due. And if you don't hit enter, you know, maybe I got, cause I get, you know, squirrel, you know, that's me. I get easily distracted. And if you don't enter, you don't get the confirmation number, which means you didn't pay the bill. So I make sure that I check it off. I write down all the stuff when we pay it, and then write those confirmation numbers, because that way I know it's been done.
Oh yeah, that's really good. That's good. I think so. Another thing that we've done that's really helpful for us is we give ourselves every pay period a certain amount of money to spend eating out. And that's good. Really, that's been helpful, because that I feel like was where a lot of our you know, extra fun money was going to, was eating out. And so now we have a set amount each pay period. And so now we kind of double think sometimes when we want to go out on like a Tuesday night for dinner. Sometimes I'm like, yeah, let's go out to dinner. And then when I think about it more, I'm like, you know what? I don't want to spend that $40-$50 tonight. Let me just whip something up that's in the fridge and let's save that for the weekend or something.
Right,
So we have a set amount, and then too, it just depends on, sometimes that means we go out to 2 really nice dinners for the 2 weeks. And sometimes we just are like, you know what? Well, we're going to just kind of do smaller things and we'll go out to brunch a couple of times and get a more simple dinner out. So it helps us, I think, to really think about those spending decisions that we're making.
Right. I like that. So basically you use the traditional pencil paper calculator. You sit down every pay period to look at your finances. You divvy up money depending also on what's coming up.
Yes.
And you really plan as far as eating out, those things that you enjoy doing. Because that was going to be my next question, is about how you manage your finances, but you pretty much answered that.
Oh, good. Well, and I do have to say too, like, it's not perfect. There are definitely
times. It's never perfect.
Yeah, we go over. And so then the next pay period, we're like, okay, there's this much money on the credit card that we didn't have to pay it off, because we like to pay it off each time. And so we'll have to kind of take that from next week's fund money or reevaluate. So we're definitely not perfect, and we've come a long way, because when we were first married, we fought a lot about money. Not a lot, but that if there was one thing we were fighting about, it was that. So.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, thanks for sharing that. And it's never perfect. Like, it just, for us, it's never perfect. And that's one thing that I think holds people back. It's not that it has to be perfect, but one, they're afraid to start. And then if it doesn't work out, right?
Yeah,
so it just know that it's never perfect. You know, sometimes you're going to overspend here or there. But the important thing is that you know how much it was, so you know how to work from there. You know, because you can't work on something unless you know exactly what you need to, what you're working with. So I'm glad that you brought that up, because it's never perfect and never will be. That's just how it is.
It is.
Life is not stagnant. Life is a lot of ups and downs. You know, life happens, things happen, and that's how it is. It is what it is.
It is.
And what would you say is your proudest money moment?
So I would have to say this happened pretty recently, just last month in July. Mm-hmm. We paid off my student loan.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So we paid, like, in the same month we paid off my student loan, and we had taken out, we had consolidated some debt on this, on a loan that, like, a 5-year loan that had a really low interest rate, you know, like 2-some percent. And we paid that off, and we paid that off like 2.5 years early. So we,
That is awesome.
We paid both of those things off, and now the only debt that we have is our mortgage and then my husband's interest-free car loan. And so that was a really, really, really big deal to do that.
That is. And congratulations for doing that.
Thank you.
That is exciting, because then you have more extra money to do the reach those financial other financial goals that you want to work on. So
yeah,
that's great.
Thank you. So we had to rearrange some of our spending, obviously. But also we made a really big decision that we were going to take some of the money we were putting in investments for this year, and we were going to use it to get that stuff paid off, because we are going to be having a baby at the end of the year. So it was one of those things that we were like, in the long run, I feel like we're, you know, instead of continuing to pay these off for many years, we just need to get it paid off, kind of, you know, take that investment loss for 6 or 7 months, but know that we're going to be pretty close to debt free. Mm-hmm. And then start back up again at the end of the year, putting all of that, the money that we were putting in investments is going back there and not to pay off the loan. So,
right. That is great. Good thinking. And it comes from, I believe, also from you both communicating with each other. So,
yeah. And that was something that we both had to be okay with, it and the timing of everything and stuff. So it was very, we talked about it a lot, and we used some of our savings money. Like, we had, you know, we have a couple different pots of savings money, like the cannot touch, this is emergency fund for if, like, the world starts to end and my husband doesn't have a job or something. But we had other savings funds, and we were like, you know what, it's better to take this and get that debt paid off than to just have it sit there and earn like some crazy nothing percent.
Right.
You know?
And you touched about something, you know, as far as the decision to do that, because sometimes, you know, yes, I stress that emergency funds are only to be used in emergencies. But if there is a certain situation that you talk with your spouse and it's, you think, if you know, you also got to think about in terms of, is the income that you're gaining at the moment, is it stable? So if you're confident that it's stable, you might consider using that for that debt, if that's, you know, something that you are really wanting to get rid of. So
that
is some thought, and it's great that you're communicating, because with communication, even though it sometimes it's stressful and sometimes there might be fights, your spouse, your significant other, is going to have some thought process that you might not think about. And from just you both speaking to each other about it, you can come up with a really great plan.
Yes.
So, yeah. That is awesome, and congrats again.
Thank you.
Now, what would you say, we all are guilty of this, so what would you say is your worst purchase?
So I think this is going to kind of be a tie for two things. So I'll share my younger years one, and then like a more recent one that I've recently changed. But when I was first out of college, I feel like I struggled with credit card debt. But I wasn't buying huge major purchases, so I didn't think a lot about it. I didn't think I was really doing anything super bad or super wrong. I was using it to go to happy hour and go, you know, get a pedicure and stuff like that. And so that, so doing all of those things, I was like, well, that kind of screwed me over. In terms of, like, you know, when we got married, we had to pay, you know, we used some of my husband's savings money to pay some of that stuff off and stuff like that. And it just, I didn't set myself up in the best way. And so, but I would say recently, not recently, like in the last month, but in the last few years, I really struggled with the whole like mini shopping trips. Like, I would just go out and buy a few, you know, $15, $20 tops here or there, and it would really add up, but I wouldn't wear them a lot. or for a long period of time. And so I came to terms with this idea, the whole idea of quality over quantity. Gotcha. And I think that that has totally changed the way that I spend. And I look back and there's a lot of purchases where every time you're at a store and you're like, oh, it's just $15, like that adds up. If you do that once a week, that's $60. If you do it, you know, at two stores once a week, that's $120 a month. And like those things add up. And then, so I think for me, that was it. And also, but just the mini shopping trips in general, I also avoid now, as much as it pains me to do it, I avoid the dollar bins at Target because I'm like, I don't need $10 worth of little things. And then when we decide to go walk our dog on Saturday and both get coffee, I don't feel bad spending $7 or $8 on two coffees because I've stopped spending that extra $10, $15 at every store here and there. So
Right. And you mentioned quality over quantity. And something that I want to share with the listeners, because she mentioned tank tops and quality over quantity. She is such a great styler. Aww. And if you look on her Instagram, she's always looking so beautiful and just spot on. I'm like, I need some advice here.
Oh, thank you. Which actually, that's a great segue, actually, because I am going to be launching a second podcast called Style Files.
I'm so excited about that. I've already signed up because I'm like, okay, when is she going to start? Because I'm ready.
Oh, yay. Thank you. So that, yeah. So what that'll be is that is me sharing how I've gotten to the place of finding my personal style that I love, doing it affordably, and feeling confident in what I'm wearing. So I'm not going to be telling you to go out and buy that $4,000 outfit that's in the fashion magazine, because as gorgeous as it might be, no one, I mean, that's a couple months of my mortgage right there. So like, I'm not trying to do that at all. But I feel like I've really learned the craft of really investing in pieces that you love. And I don't care if I wear this top once or twice a week. I love it. I feel good in it and I get compliments in it and I'm confident in it. And so it's worth that value. So,
right. I love it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thanks for sharing that. I'm excited about that. So that's why I was like, I'm going to bring this up. It has nothing, but it does have to do with money, because you're going to be sharing about styles that are affordable. So yeah. I had to put that in. So, and Jen, as you know, this podcast is all about making money simple and taking control of it. So how would you finish this sentence? Her money matters because?
I would say her money matters because knowing about your finances and being educated about it is empowering. So I think that we as women need to empower ourselves in every way that we can. And I think you should know where that money is going. You should know how much money is coming in each month. You should know how much you're paying for water and electric each month and groceries and eating out and all of those things, how much you spend at Target each month, how much you spend on your kids and yourself. And yeah.
Love it. Thank you for sharing that. Jen, this has been so much fun as always. You're so much fun to talk to. So I really appreciate you being here on the podcast. Tell us, where is the best place for people to find you and learn more about you?
Okay. So like you've mentioned before, the best place I think to learn more about me and see what's going on in my daily life is on Instagram. And my handle is just my name. It's at Jen Hatzung, HATZUNG. And then also for our podcast, She Percolates, again on Instagram, the handle is at She Percolates. And also both of those are our website. So shepercolates.com. And then when my other show launches, it'll be jenhatsung.com. So very easy.
Okay, perfect. And I'll be sure to include that in the show notes. So thanks again, Jen, for sharing all that stuff. It was really a blast talking to you today. And I'm sure we'll talk again soon.
Thanks so much for having me.
No, thank you. Wasn't that super fun? And Jen is just amazing. So I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I enjoyed chatting with her. Now, I wanted to give you a little update on Jen, as this was recorded several months prior to its release. So you heard that when we were chatting that she was very pregnant and expecting her first baby with her husband. So I'm happy to report that since our interview, her baby daughter arrived, and now the Hatzung family is now a happy family of three. So congratulations, Jen, to you, to your husband, and to your precious baby girl. So let's recap some things that we talked about today. We talked about the impact those candid family money conversations growing up had on Jen. She also shared with us her take on who should be the money manager in the household. And she also shares why her and her husband did not do their dream honeymoon when they first got married to Europe, but what resulted instead, and also what calculated risks they took to pay off a good chunk of their debt and why they did it. So I also, before we wrap up, I wanted to give a quick shout out as we got a great, awesome review, and it comes from the user Aura Lou, so I hope I pronounced that right. And she titles the review Beyond Talking. It's a 5-star review. And she says, assuming a she, this is a must listen to podcast and a fantastic companion to the website, jenhempill.com. There are so many useful tools and valuable perspectives that are part of the conversations and on the site. I like that the tone is positive and that we get to hear from multiple different people. It's really great to hear something different than the standard money advice about budgeting. The discussions make you look forward to dealing with your own money and financial issues instead of putting it off. So thank you so much for those awesome words. And just wanted to make sure that I gave her a shout out. Now, let's talk about a big takeaway that I took from the conversation with Jen, which I completely agree on. And I'm sure if you have listened to some of my other podcasts, you have heard me say this. And she talks about how both her and her husband are in the know, are in tune with what's going on with the finances, how they review everything twice a month. And there's various reasons for doing this. I know sometimes there's one party that's in the know and the other one doesn't, but there's a lack of communication. And partly of that is because it's an uncomfortable conversation to have, but it's one that needs to be had. And reasons for having that conversation, for both parties being in the know, there's just various reasons, but really that I want to highlight some. Life happens. So you heard Jen said that there was a transition and her first trimester was a tough one. So if she had not had that transition of who managed the finances and her husband wasn't in the know, that would have made things a lot trickier. So when life happens and both parties need to know so the other one can pick up where the original money manager left off. Another reason that it's important as to why both parties need to be in the know, it just really gives for a better collaboration. If you think about it, two heads are better than one. So if you're trying to problem solve on your own a money issue or some debt that you're trying to pay off or something, some challenge you're having around with money, don't do it alone. Two heads are better than one. Discuss this with your significant other. So it definitely gives for better collaboration. And besides better communication, and you really, it allows you, because both are in the know, for better money decisions. So let's say that, let's give two scenarios. Let's say your spouse is the money manager in this case, right? And you don't even know what's going on. You just know that some money's there to do groceries. So let's say you're doing groceries and you just know some money's there. What would happen if you knew that if you went, of course, you're not necessarily going to go over the groceries, but if you were in the know of everything that was going on, like your significant other was putting an extra amount towards some debt, but you didn't know this. You just know maybe it was being paid off, but didn't know they were working really hard to pay off the debt and they needed an extra, I don't know, $100 a month. to go towards the debt. If you knew that, you would be making some better, chances are higher that you're going to be making some better money decisions when you go grocery shopping, when you go needing to buy some stuff for the kids or whatever the case may be. So the chances are higher that you make those better money decisions. So those are really three things that strike out as me as very important as to why you both need to be in the know. One, life happens. So one person needs to pick up where the other one left off. Two heads are better than one. It's better collaboration when you're trying to problem solve. And you can make so much better money decisions when you're in the know and have a clear picture of the whole of all your finances. So that is a wrap for today. I hope you enjoyed this interview. I want to thank Jen Hatsung for joining us today, for sharing her stories, for sharing some great insights. And check out the show notes and the transcription on where to find Jen at jenhempill.com/29 is an episode 29. And that's jenhempill.com/29. If you haven't done so already, be sure to join us in our private Facebook community. It's a community that I've created just for you, and it's called the Her Money Matters community. And you can do so by going to jenhempill.com/community. So that way you can connect with me, because I know I really, really want to connect with you. And you can also connect with other like-minded women from different parts of the world. It will definitely keep you motivated around your finances. So I hope you join us in the group, join us in on the conversation. It's a lot of fun. So thank you so much for listening in today, and I will talk to you again next Thursday.